And right now, we're going to be joined by a special guest, someone who hasn't been on the show in a long time, someone who's been on the show in the past several times, but it's been many years, a voice you haven't heard in a long time, one of my favorites, legendary tag team, America's Most Wanted, the Wildcat Chris Harris. Let's intro his theme music first. Chris Harris, welcome back to the main event.
Wow, what an intro, Ryan.
Yeah. Had to have it big for you, man.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me back.
It's been a long time.
Man.
It's been years.
Yeah, it has been a while. Has it really been years?
Yes. I think the last time you were on was probably Bound for Glory 2000. I don't know if it was 2007, but that's nearly 10 years ago.
2007, that was a good year.
It was. So how's your health today? How you feeling?
Well, I shouldn't be talking about it, but my health is, it's fair. I've had some health issues in the past, and that's kind of why I got away from wrestling, but I'm alive, man.
You're alive and kicking. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, brother.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what exactly were the health issues that you were dealing with?
Well, I've had some internal issues without being specific, and that kind of caused me to, I'm a diabetic now, so that's weighing heavily on my health. Besides that, I mean, the normal wrestling injuries, man, I got some messed up discs in my spine, and so that's another reason I've been away from the ring. I mean, I do it every so often, but I gotta be careful, you know.
Yeah. Did you have any surgeries on your back or spine or rehabilitation? What's
actually I need to have a surgery on my neck, but I'm having some trouble with insurance right now, so we'll see what happens with that.
Okay. So are you looking to get back in the ring, or the injuries will just prevent you from doing so?
You know what? My passion kind of overwhelms that. So if I can get healthy and, you know, the right time, right place, I'd love to do something again, man. I mean, I just love wrestling. I love the business. And, you know, if there's an opportunity to get back in, I would love to. Even if it's not an in-ring deal, I mean, I'd love to be an agent. I'd love to, you know, anything in the back room.
When is the last time that you wrestled?
Last week.
Okay. So how did that go?
I had a street fight, and sometimes the street fights are a little bit easier than competing right now. I was in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and for a promotion up there, and like I said, I don't do it that often anymore, but you know, if the time is right, I'll step in the ring.
Okay. So let's go back. Look back to your good times in your career in TNA, and maybe some less good times in other organizations that we might touch upon. First off, America's Most Wanted, the amazing tag team that you had with James Storm for many years. You guys won the Tag Team of the Year. You were a six-time tag team champion with James Storm, and then one time, I believe, with Elix Skipper. Some of your favorite memories.
You actually knew that?
Yeah, I remember. I remember the feud you got. I watched TNA every week, all the weekly pay-per-views, and then when you guys switched to Spike.
Most times people say that we were seven-time champs because mm-hmm. they kind of overlooked that.
No, six-time champ with James, and then one time with Elix, and then James
got it right,
man. And James won it with Daniels, right?
Yeah, man, you've done your homework.
Of course, I watched back then. I was around. We talked, and yeah, I want to know what your favorite memories were of that that time period of your career working with James for four years.
Oh my God, man, we've had so many times. It's hard to pinpoint. I guess I have to say the, you know, everybody keeps talking about the six sides of steel.
Mm-hmm.
We had a cage match with Daniels and Elix back in Nashville, And then we had a rematch in Orlando. I can't remember the pay-per-view. But
it was Turning Point 2004.
You're killing me, man.
Yeah. And the cage
actually,
was in
actually
June
the first
of the, year
the first cage match in
it was June 2003 first, the first cage match I believe,
and that was with Triple X.
Yeah,
and but the first Six Sides of Steel was with the Naturals, and that's a big memory for me too because we love working with those guys.
Mm-hmm. You still do some things with Chase, right?
We keep in touch, but I haven't worked with him in years, man. We actually did we had a kind of a reuniting just a couple months ago in Nashville. It was the Naturals and America's Most Wanted. It was the first time all of us have been together in years, man.
Wow. So when you saw Elix Skipper go up to the top of the cage and do his Hurricane Rana, were you fearful for his life?
I wasn't fearful of him. I was fearful for me.
That's right. Were you afraid of falling down? How were you able to keep balanced?
I kept kicking Daniels, and I was like, let's go to plan B. Because I didn't know Elix was going to make it, and it happened in seconds, man. And when I took that hit, oh, I thought I broke a rib.
No wonder your back hurts today.
Exactly. And let's not forget that leg drop I did with him the first time.
Oh, yeah, with the death sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was crazy. So then afterwards, you ended up feuding with James Storms. You had the breakup in 2006, and you guys had a historic feud between the two of you, which culminated in the Texas death match. Brutal, brutal match that the two of you guys had at Sacrifice of that year. Memories of that match. And the reaction that the crowd gave you?
You know, I think at that point, people were worried about us being on our own, being in singles matches. And so we had a lot to prove. I felt confident about me. I felt confident about Storm. And we just went out there, man, and we tore it down. And it just meant so much to us. And there was a lot of brutality about that, but we went out and made it work, man.
Yeah, and the month before you had the blindfold match at Lockdown, and I
bring that up.
I personally I enjoyed it watching it on pay per view, but the reaction didn't seem too strong. Why do you think it didn't work because
of the whole blindfold thing. You know, when he put me out with my eye injury, it made sense to do a blindfold match. I mean, we were trying to go old school.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd just wasn't with it, man. I mean, they wanted to see Storm and Harris kill each other. They didn't want to see a blindfold match.
Oh, you made it up the month later, and that's the match that people remember.
Yes, sir, we did.
Yeah. Do you still keep in touch with the Cowboy?
Absolutely, man.
Yeah. How's he doing?
He's doing great, man. I think he deserves more than what he's getting right now, but I think he's going to be a TNA world champ soon.
Mm-hmm. Slammiversary 2013, James Storm at the time was supposed to have a mystery partner. Was there any talk of that potentially being you?
No. This is the first I heard of it.
Okay.
Who was his mystery partner?
It was Slammiversary 2013. It was James Storm and a mystery partner going for the tag team titles. And the rumor was that it was supposed to be you, and then it ended up being Gunner. And that's how he started his team with Gunner.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I never got a call for that. So I would love for something like that to happen.
Okay. How do you feel? Is that your dog?
That is my dog. Get her. Sorry about that. I'm
trying to get some airtime. Trying to barge in on the interview.
That's my little mascot.
What kind of dog?
She is a German Shepherd mix.
What's her name?
Daisy.
Daisy, welcome to the main event, Daisy.
He goes to all the shows for me.
I don't know if we've had a dog on the show before. Might be a first time. How do you feel Beer Money compared to America's Most Wanted?
I was actually one of their biggest fans. I thought they did awesome, but nobody compares to America's Most Wanted.
Do you regret leaving the company, TNA?
That's hard to say, man. I at the time, I thought I did the right thing. But if I had to look back, I mean, seeing the success that Storm and Bobby Roode and Eric Young, you know, all those guys that I was really good friends with, I kind of wish I'd have stayed. Just to, you know, it seemed like more of a fraternity. But I, you know, at the time I thought I was doing the right thing, man. I was doing what I could for my family and, you know, what was good for me.
You seemed really frustrated at the time. It was when, I believe it was around the time when Bischoff and Hogan had come in and there was a big change in the brass at the office. And you were actually on television complaining about the way you were being used. You were having, I remember you had segments with Kurt Angle. I don't remember who else was in those segments, but you were complaining on television for a few months, and I thought there would be a payoff to that, but then you actually left the company. Was it on bad terms when you had left, or were you okay?
Well, it seemed to be bad terms, but the truth is Russo was still involved in. Mm-hmm. And we really weren't doing anything with me, so he started putting those kind of segments together, and I don't know. I guess I was a little frustrated, and it doesn't hurt that the other side was giving me a big offer. So I kind of weighed the two out, and I decided, okay, maybe it's time for a jump. It had nothing to do with TNA. I mean, I love TNA. I love what they were doing, and there actually was a payoff. Kurt and I were actually supposed to do a program together, which would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I guess I you know, I just looked at it the other way, and it was a big jump, but I decided to move.
So then you went to WWE for a short run under the name Braden Walker. I'm sure your memories of that time are not the most positive, to say the least.
At the beginning, it was. I went down to Tampa, and they treated me great. I mean, for the first few months, which I wasn't on TV at all, so I wasn't doing anything. But then once they started me on TV, I had a meeting with the producers and the writers, the agents, and we had something really good planned. I mean, it was actually, this is probably the first time I'm saying this, but I pulled out a gimmick that was very similar to the Shield. So I was going to kind of debut doing that like a bounty hunter gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
But the next thing you know, they shut it off and put me out there as Braden Walker, and it pretty much flopped.
It was a very generic singlet, and they put you on in a match against Armando Estrada.
Well, even before that, mm-hmm. I had a match against, forgot his name now. But no, I had like three matches, mm-hmm. and they were all just flat. I mean, it just didn't mean anything. I mean, How can the people care when you don't put somebody out? I'll give you a good example. Ron Killings and I both went at the same time. We left TNA, mm-hmm. went to WWE. And for an example, they did some promos with him in North Carolina, which is where he's from. kind of doing like the whole ghetto kind of thing.
With the spray paint and everything, yeah.
My point is, it made people care. So when he came out, you knew who he was. When I came out, who the hell, I mean, they know me from America's Most Wanted, but there was no promos to
hyping you up.
Me up.
Mm-hmm. Did you voice that displeasure with somebody? Was there somebody you could have gone to talk about your discomfort in the role that they were putting you in, or was just like go out there and feed you to the wolves?
It that's how it felt.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a few people and there was no help whatsoever.
Is there anything you would have done differently at that time, or it's just the way the system was?
I have to say it's the way the system was, but being this many years later, I probably would have stood still. I'd have talked to somebody. Because the worst that could happen is I get fired.
Mm-hmm. And that's what ended up happening anyways.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wanted to leave.
Yeah. How did it happen? So you were there. You were on TV for a few weeks, and then you departed. How did the departure happen? Like, what was what led to the camel's back breaking?
Well, the last match I had was on
ECW?
SmackDown. Well, it was, yeah, back then it was ECW.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the guy's name, but I had a match, and then I flew home on Wednesday, and I got a call from Johnny Ace, and he said he was going to let me go. And the funny part is, I didn't fight him at all. When he said that, I was like, great.
Okay.
And I was just so unhappy, man. I mean, there were so many problems. I wanted to get out of there.
You compared you and R-Truth, Ron Killings. Do you feel that because Ron Killings had a previous run in WWE that he was maybe got some favoritism towards him compared to you, who was coming from the other company, quote unquote, and the, kind of the mindset back then was if Vince didn't create you, maybe he didn't want to push you. But thankfully, nowadays that's kind of changed a little bit.
I think you hit it right on the head, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you had a previous run in WWE, I think that there's a little favoritism there, and I thought that with Gail too, Gail Kim.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Gail Kim left TNA. WWE offered her a contract three times the price she was getting paid in TNA, and then they didn't use her. It's like they just wanted to grab her away and not use her to the best of her ability. That I never understood the Gail Kim.
Anybody sign. That has gone over there, let's take away the past year. But anybody that's gone over there has been crushed. I think they're finally learning that there's there's life before WWE. And I think AJ's proven that. I think the Gallows and Anderson, I think they're proving that.
And now Bobby Roode and Eric Young.
Well, they're in NXT, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and Aries, too.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, Bobby's going to be a big star. Eric's going to be a big star. I think they're finally realizing that, you know, you got to push guys that have been somewhere before.
You're listening to Main Event Radio. Ryan Ryder here on the line. Wildcat Chris Harris. Yeah, you mentioned guys like AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, Eric Young, and all these former TNA guys who now, and also Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson from New Japan who are now having success in WWE. The times are changing now. They do acknowledge the success outside of WWE, and you can't not do that anymore because of YouTube, because of Wikipedia, and because of the WWE network, where they want to attract the more diehard fans. You can no longer pretend that a wrestler's coming in and they don't have this history. You type in their name, it pops up online, all their videos of their past matches and written information of their career. You can't pretend the past never happened anymore, and thankfully that's changed, but it's a shame that when you went there, it wasn't the case.
Well, and have you noticed that when guys debut, listen to the response. I mean, people go crazy because they have access to you know, the internet and all that. I mean,
I know. I didn't mean for this to be so negative, but it's just like, I wish we could have seen the real Chris Harris do his thing in WWE.
Oh, bro, it would have been so good, man. I would have had so much fun, and I really think that we could have done something. I really do.
In 2011, you briefly returned to TNA Wrestling, teaming with Matt Hardy in a losing effort. Why did that run not last any longer?
Well, again, that was Russo. We had some conversations where it was actually supposed to go somewhere. I did a couple house shows, and then we had that match, and it was done after that. I'm not really sure why. I think it could have been a great angle.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it got cut short.
I was going through some problems at the time. I mean, when I left TNA, when I left WWE, there were some issues going on. I left Orlando and moved back to Kentucky, so everything's good now. I'm still working with some health issues, but everything else is good, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that you had the health issues.
Sorry, man.
How were you able to turn things around and get yourself back on track?
Well, one thing was the move. I needed to get back with friends and family. So I came back, and things just kind of turned around from there, man. I had a very supportive group with my family and friends, and everything looks good right now, man.
Good, good. And you seem to be slowly dipping your feet back in the waters in the business. What are your intentions right now?
Touching it a little bit.
What would you like to do in wrestling?
Well, like I told you before, I don't know if my body can handle it anymore, but I would love to be an agent. I'd love to be a part of the business and contribute somehow to the younger guys. I would love that, man. If there's ever an opportunity to do something with Storm, I think the fans would like that.
Yes. Do you ever see yourself tagging up with Storm again?
Well, we just did a couple months ago, so I know I'm not in the best shape right now, but if we did something for TV, I think the fans would love that. I think I think it'd be really good.
Where did you guys wrestle together?
Nashville.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Which organization?
I thought you did your homework.
I didn't know you guys wrestled together this year. Which organization was it?
I don't know the organization, but it was AMW against the Naturals.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Andy Douglas too came back?
Well, he came. The whole deal was I was going to come back and Andy was going to come back cuz Chase and Storm obviously still wrestle. Mhm. But Andy came back for one match. Yeah, man, it was really cool.
Nice. And you mentioned you're not in perfect ring shape right now. Are you working on getting in better shape?
I'm working on it, man.
Okay. Because it'll happen one day. Must be tough with diabetes and the back issues.
It is. I'm not going to use that as an excuse, but it's tough. Mm-hmm. It's not like I was 20.
Yeah. So, looking back at your time in the business, you're more. We've been talking about the negatives. Let's talk a little bit more about the positive moments. What were your
do that?
Yeah, let's talk about some positive things, some good memories over your years. I remember you had a brief feud with Dustin Rhodes. Goldust at the time, Black Rain. Any memories of working with Dustin?
I love Dustin. He's a great worker, and we can see that now because he's obviously still has a very beneficial career. At the time, I was a little worried about him because he was still kind of having his problems. But, you know, we got through that, and he's a much better person right now.
You mentioned teams such as Triple X and the Naturals. Who are some of the other teams that you really enjoyed facing off against?
Oh, the New Church comes to mind.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because that's kind of what put me and Storm on the map. We had feuds with them, Simon Diamond and Swinger. We had a great match with them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Triple X really stands out.
Yeah. And especially the cage matches. Like, those cage matches are legendary.
Well, thank you for saying that. We really put a lot into those.
Mm-hmm. You guys gave it your all. You were young. You were hungry. You wanted to make a name for yourselves. You wanted to make a name for the company. And those matches will always exist. They are your legacy, and they're something to be proud of.
I really hope people think that. Yeah. Because it stands out to us.
You mentioned the New Church. How's Brian Lee doing? Have you spoken to him at all?
I have not, man. Him and I really became good friends back then, and he kind of had some issues as mm-hmm. well, and we lost touch, but I will always remember Brian as a great friend and a great worker. He taught me a lot.
Another team that you faced off against, if my memory serves me correct, is LAX, Homicide and Hernandez.
LAX, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm working with those guys. What was that like?
Oh, I love those guys, man. We had great matches. At the time, there was a really good issue at the time because we were doing the whole USA LAX thing. And that is actually when we turned babyface, I think. Because mm-hmm. they were doing the whole burn
USA, yeah.
American flag gimmick. And so that's what actually turned us babyface again. I love those guys. I actually love shooting pool with them, too.
All right. And, yeah, when then TNA moved to when TNA moved to Spike TV, you had the big feud with Team 3D, the Dudley Boys, memories of that, and also the famous casket segment that you guys did. I'll always remember that one.
Oh, fuck the Dudley Boys.
You serious?
No. They're great guys, man. I love those guys. I just said that I learned a lot from Brian Lee, but the truth is I learned a lot from those guys, too. I mean, when they came over, they were put with us, and I really don't think they knew much about us, but they were great teachers. The casket thing was awesome. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people remember that, too.
Oh, that was hilarious with Eric Young and Abyss. Everybody that was part of that, Jim Mitchell, you and James. Oh, that was just a great segment. There's Daisy again trying to get in here.
There she is again.
Hey, Daisy.
We did something with Abyss in there, James Mitchell. Bobby and Eric were in there.
Yeah.
It was a great segment.
Mm-hmm. See, there you go. Those segments, like... There are people still watch those. It's on YouTube. It's maybe one day it'll be on the WWE Network. We don't know, but they're out there. People will be watching these segments for years.
I'm
and years
pretty
to
sure
come.
It's not going to be on the network.
No. What are your? I was going to ask you a little later, but I'll get to it now. What are your thoughts on the current TNA situation? Them being for sale and the bids from Billy Corgan, Sinclair Broadcasting, and WWE also putting out an offer for their tape library.
Honestly, man, I think they're going to be okay. Dixie's not going to sell.
No, you think she'll continue to fund it?
You know what? I really don't know. I think she's been a great operator. But I don't think they'll sell to WWE.
You don't think so? Okay. I mean, you think Billy Corgan's gonna take more power?
Now that's possible.
Have you been in talks with anybody in the organization about coming in, whether to wrestle a few times with James or to be an agent or something of the like?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Hopefully it happens.
You're working on it. Yeah. Back to the Dudley boys. You scared me there for a second. when you said F the Dudley boys. But you said that they gave you a lot of great advice. What are some of the advice that Bubba and Devon gave to you and Storm?
As good as we were as a tag team, to hear advice from them made it so much better.
Yeah.
There's Daisy.
There you go. All right, Chris Harris. So what else do you have to say to the people who watched you for the years in your career and wondering where Chris Harris has gone and yeah, who watched you all those years? What message do you have to your fans?
Still around. I know a lot of people have forgotten about me, but I'm still around, and I still step in the ring sometimes. Storm and I, there's still a possibility.
That'd be great.
We'll see what happens?
That would be great for you and Storm to get back together down the line.
He's doing great though, man. I mean, I don't want to ever break up what he's doing. He should be TNA world champ right now.
He should be. Chris Harris, Wildcat, thank you for joining us this afternoon. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry we got a little bit, I guess, negative at times.
No, yeah. Brother. Yeah. Don't worry about it. I told you nothing was off limits.
Hope I didn't go too far there. It is great to talk to you again. And I really hope that I'm waiting for you to make that. I don't know if you're waiting for your big comeback, but I'm hoping it happens. Because if anybody deserves it, it's you. I'm thinking of, I don't know, I see some comparisons between you and the movie The Wrestler. Does that resonate at all with you?
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
What's that?
Do you feel that way? Like, do you feel like you can compare it to the movie The Wrestler?
I kind of feel that way, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, man.
Yeah, someone who...
happened at some point.
Who had the stardom and then kind of...
Just remember I said that.
Yeah, it will happen. I believe it will. If you believe in something, Chris... it can happen.
You're damn right, man.
Yeah. You make a goal, you set it, you figure out what you have to do to get there, and it can happen.
I did it 20 years ago, and I'm saying it now.
It's a little harder when you're older, but it's
yes,
it's still
it
possible. It's still possible, and you're still young. You're not young like you were once, but you're still young enough to make it happen. So I do wish you the best of luck, Mr. Chris Harris, Wildcat, and we thank you for joining us this afternoon.
You're the best, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Wildcat Chris Harris here on Main Event Radio.